The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June-July 2024 issue of Scout Life. And we're going to go back to page 2. We left off a few from Area on the Prairie. And we just know you'd like to hear what folks have said and what his responses were. I love your magazine. I absolutely love the games and the stories based on real life. I would be so excited to see some representation of your Arkansas Scouts. My troop would love a feature. That's from Livia B. in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Livia? Let us know what you're planning by heading to go.scoutlife.org/outings to share about your troop's upcoming adventures. My troop is going to Philmont in 2025. My brother went, and he said it was a very tough but memorable time. I'd like to see a section that details what to prepare and things to look forward to. This would really help me out, along with a lot of other kids in my troop who haven't been. I also wanted to say that I love your magazine, and my favorite part is the funny captions. Santiago C. in Union, Kentucky. The good news is ScoutLife.org and past issues of Scout Life have tons of info on how to prepare and train for a trip to Philmont or any of the high adventure bases. And the better news is that I found a little recipe your troop could whip up to celebrate landing a trek at one of the coolest sites on Earth. Anyone in for a Philmont Ranger Cobbler? Try the recipe. go.scoutlife.org/gobbler. And if you know me, you know I'm going to make this Dutch oven recipe myself. I might add a few worms to accommodate my personal tastes. I'll let you know how it goes next issue. Have a great summer, my non-feathered friends. She Rules the Pool by Erin Durr. The greatest female swimmer of all time is headed to the 2024 Summer Olympic Games. At an age when most of us are barely comfortable getting our feet wet, Katie Ledecky was a natural in the water. When Katie was a toddler growing up in Bethesda, Maryland, her parents noticed how she was totally comfortable in the pool. More than 20 years later, Ledecky has already achieved more than most athletes could ever dream of. She has won 7 Olympic gold medals and 21 World Championship gold medals, the most in history for a female swimmer. Her 6 individual Olympic gold medals are a record in women's swimming. In short, she is the GOAT, greatest of all time. Ledecky's breakthrough moment came at the 2012 Olympic Games in London when she was just 15. It was there that Ledecky shocked the world, winning her first Olympic gold medal in the 800-meter freestyle and breaking the world record in the process. It was a moment that would change her life forever and catapult her into the spotlight as one of the brightest stars in swimming. But Ledecky was just getting started. More than a decade of dominance. Over the years that followed, she continued to dominate the world of swimming, winning medal after medal and breaking records along the way. Her signature event, the freestyle, is her kingdom, and she is its ruler. Most swimmers have strengths and weaknesses. Maybe they're elite sprinters, meaning they can swim super fast over short distances, but they don't have the endurance to keep it up over long distances. Or maybe they have the stamina to outlast opponents over long distances, but aren't that great in the shorter races. What makes Ledecky unique is her ability to do it all. Her dominance in the freestyle event is remarkable, with victories in the 200, 400, 800, and 1500-meter freestyle events. She can beat you in the short run, and she can beat you in the long run. I have the approach that every race is a sprint, she says. Some races are just longer sprints than others. Ready for 2024. Ledecky is now 27, and she doesn't appear to be slowing down. She heads into this summer's Olympic Games as one of the favorites. The secret to her success? She still trains harder than anyone else, pushing herself to the limit and never settling for anything less than her best. I try to make the good days great and take something positive from the days I'm not feeling good, she says. Michael Phelps, probably the greatest male swimmer of all time, is impressed. She's somebody who's willing to dream as big as you can possibly imagine, Phelps says. That's what you need. She is doing things that women have never done before because she isn't afraid to think outside the box. She isn't afraid to give everything she can possibly give. The other Katie. Katie Grimes might be the second best person named Katie in the world of competitive swimming, but she takes a backseat to no one. Grimes, 18, is one of the youngest members of the Team USA. She placed fourth in the 800-meter freestyle at the 2020 Summer Olympics and is hungry for more in 2024. Grimes has proven herself to be a strong open-water swimmer, in which athletes compete in environments such as rivers, lakes, and the sea. In a 2021 interview, Katie Ledecky says she told Katie Grimes, "You're the future." The future arrives in Paris in 2024. Other United States athletes to watch. Paris 2024. Fast facts. What? The Olympic Summer Games, a worldwide sports competition usually held every 4 years. When? July 26th to August 11th. Where? Paris, France. Watch on NBC and Peacock, as well as the Olympics channel at NBCOlympics.com. Les mascots. The Paris 2024 mascots are the Fergies, characters based on an ancient symbol that means freedom. Persia was a kingdom in what is now Turkey. They were allies of France for many years. Other United States athletes to watch. Simone Biles, gymnastics. Biles is to gymnastics what Ledecky is to women's swimming, the greatest of all time. She was the all-round champion at the 2016 Olympics and took home a bronze medal on balance beam in 2020. Victor Montalvo, breakdancing. Yes, breakdancing is really a sport in the 2024 Olympics, and Montalvo is one of its stars. The athlete, also known as B-Boy Victor, won the gold medal in a world competition in 2022 and hopes to be just as good in Paris. Caleb Dressel, swimming. Dressel won 5 gold medals at the 2020 Summer Olympics. He specializes in the freestyle, butterfly, and individual medley events. He holds world records in multiple events and has a legit chance to break some of his own records in Paris. Chuck Aoki, wheelchair rugby. Team USA's leading scorer, Aoki already has 2 silver medals and 1 bronze. He's hoping to lead his team to gold at the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. Sophia Smith, soccer. The United States women's national team has been dominant for decades, but is currently going through a period of change. Many of its older players have retired, opening the door for young stars like Smith. Oksana Masters, para-cycling. Masters will compete in the 2024 Paralympics. Born with damage to her legs, she originally earned medals in skiing. She's just as dominant in paracycling, in which she pedals with her arms instead of her legs. Jimmer Fredette, 3x3 basketball. Fredette played college basketball at Brigham Young University and professional basketball for several years in the NBA and in China. But he really shines in international 3x3 basketball, an entertaining version of the sport in which each team has only three players on the court at a time. Griffin Calapinto, surfing. Surfing is now an Olympic sport. Calapinto already has wins on the World Surfing League, but is hoping for his first taste of Olympic glory this summer. And Sydney McLaughlin-Leverone, track. McLaughlin-Leverone is one of the most dominant track athletes in the world. She broke the world record in 400-meter hurdles, then broke her own record twice after that. Write Your Adventure by Michael Freeman. Photos by Kyle Spradley. We have captions at the top of left top of page 16. On the left, Wyatt Harris checks out the Grand Prismatic Spring, the largest hot spring in Yellowstone National Park. On the right, Evan Straub pokes their head out of a tent. This trip marked the first time both scouts had visited the western United States. And at the bottom left on page 16, above, scouts visit Mammoth Hot Springs in Wyoming. Every 3 years, Boys Troop 746 of Baltimore, Maryland, travels far from home for an awesome adventure. It has been a troop tradition since the 1980s. This past year, they and girls from Troop 647, also of Baltimore, visited Wyoming before heading to Island Park Scout Camp in Idaho for summer camp. And here on the right side, bottom of page 16, Arabella Holmes of Troop 647 leads the group on a hike around Jenny Lake. Behind her are Jonah Sorna, Mitch Schauer, Ben Fugate, Wyatt Harris, Zach Francis, and Mutaba Pemanoto. Follow these troops as they go on an epic trip before summer camp. Day one, flew to Salt Lake City. All the meals were planned out, so we just walked into Walmart, filled up the carts, and bought it. When we first got there, that was the most beautiful Walmart I'd ever seen. It had the mountains behind it. You don't see stuff like that in Maryland. That's from Jonah Sorna, age 15, Life Scout. Day 3. Visited Hot Springs State Park in Thermopolis, Wyoming. Hot springs are made when magma heats groundwater. The water in the park's bathhouse was 104 degrees. It was a little too hot for some of us, but for about 20 minutes, it was pretty relaxing. We sat back and relaxed in the hot spring. It was nice. Jonah. Day 4. In Cody, Wyoming, we ate a chuck wagon dinner and went to a night rodeo. Not all of us had been to a rodeo before. It was a lot of fun. We saw rodeo clowns, barrel racers, and two pro cowboys at a time chase calves on their horses, jump off, tackle the calf, and tie it up in 10 seconds. I don't think I could ever do that. It really showed they had to be on the same wavelength to take down and tie up a calf and to see how much trust they had to have in each other. That's from Mitch Schauer, 15, Life Scout. Day 6, camped at Yellowstone National Park, saw waterfalls, hot springs, and geysers. A huge bison was in the road. It was only a few feet from our van. We took a lot of pictures. It's like being on a different planet. You look to your left, and it would just be a bright green or orange puddle that's bubbling. It's like something you'd never seen anywhere other than at Yellowstone. That's Arabella Holmes, age 15, Star Scout. Day 7. Went whitewater rafting down the Snake River. It took an hour. We went through class 2 and 3 rapids. The water felt like it was 0 degrees. It was absolutely freezing. We were pirates of the Snake River. And from Mason Kosinski, age 17, Life Scout. Day 10. Made it to summer camp. The staff was so welcoming. It earned a lot of extra merit badges and special awards like stand-up paddleboarding. The paddleboarding was a fun patch to do. I got to do freestyle yoga on a paddleboard. That from Holden Kokosinski, age 17, Life Scout. Day 16, heading back to Salt Lake City and then flying home. What a trip. We bought so many souvenirs. Some of us needed to throw stuff in our friends' bags. The trip was really fun. You only get to experience something like this once in your life. It's something I'll never forget. That's Mitch. How to fund fun. A cross-country trip can get costly. That's why Troop 746 and 647 devoted 2 years to prepare for it. During that time, the scouts did several fundraisers. They sold popcorn, Easter candy, camp cards, and citrus fruit from Florida. By March, they were able to purchase plane tickets for the summer trip. At the top of page 16, day 16, looks like somebody's writing a journal. In the bottom of page 17, Mutaba Pembamoto, Landon Moulton, Jonah Sorna, Mitch Schauer, Arabella Holmes, and Chloe DeMemo watch Sawmill Geyser erupt. Page 18, Scout Life Gear Guy Update. Dive right in. Explore beneath the water's surface with this snorkeling gear. The underwater world is magical. With snorkel or scuba gear, you can observe fish, coral, and other aquatic life in this wondrous environment. Snorkeling offers the most affordable and accessible way to explore, and with some basic gear, anyone can do it. California-based scuba instructor Derek Kusick has dived in almost every state. He says you can get started in snorkeling for less than $150. Save your allowance and make sure you enjoy the activity before you invest, says Kusick, a master scuba diver trainer. Scuba diving requires certification and costly specialized gear, most of which you'll want to rent until you stop growing. The gear. A good mask lets you see underwater. Use a traditional mask, not a full-face version. To test if a mask fits, press it against your face without using the head strap and breathe in through your nose. The mask should suction to your face. No air should seep in around the seal once it's suctioned on. If air comes in, water will too. Kusick recommends the Cressy Frameless ZS1 or Z1, depending on your face size. Fins propel you through the water. Kusick says to keep it simple with adjustable strap fins that are light, 18 inches or less, and easy to move. One good option is the TUSA snorkeling fin. In tropical waters, a bathing suit and t-shirt or rash guard to prevent sunburn are all you need. For colder water, use a warm when wet insulating wetsuit. The thicker the wetsuit, the warmer it is. When the water measures between 60 degrees and 75 degrees Fahrenheit, use a 4 to 6 millimeter wetsuit. For 45 to 60 degree water, choose a 7 millimeter wetsuit. In water colder than that, you need a dry suit and other cold water specific gear. Full wetsuits are ankle length with full arms. Shorties, great for warmer water, have short sleeves and legs. Kusick recommends Henderson wetsuits, which are available in kids and adult sizes. Review the Scuba BSA program, which details the safety and training you'll need to do this advanced aquatic activity. You can try it at some council camps or sea base, the BSA High Adventure Base in Florida. Your unit can dive independently, but only under the supervision of adults with a dive master or higher rating. Next, you need a snorkel, which is a tube with a mouthpiece to help you breathe when your face is in the water. The mouthpiece goes in your mouth, and the tube clips into a holder attached to your mask so the tube's end can stick out of the water. Dry snorkels are the most user-friendly because they don't let water in, even if a wave washes over your head or you dive underwater. Try the Blue Reef Cortez dry snorkel from scuba.com. For scuba diving, you'll need a buoyancy compensator device, and air tanks. You'll also need a regulator, which is the mouthpiece you breathe through underwater. Most new divers rent these on location, as well as other equipment. And most important, you'll have to take an open water diver certification course, which is part of the scuba diving merit badge. Find gear here. Gear Guy makes finding information online a snap. Just visit go.scoutlife.org/gearguy for links to all the gear shown here. Wild Horses, page 20. Eric and Anna know they have what it takes to train and sell the wild horse. But should they? Fiction by Zona Zeldis McDonough. Illustrations by Adam Gustafson. "Here he comes," Eric said to his sister, and his eyes weren't on the arena, but looking down at the booklet detailing the pedigrees of the horses being auctioned today. "You know, I want a filly," said Anna. "Just look." "Okay?" Anna put down the booklet to watch the shaggy golden pony as he was led around the arena. "He's a beauty," she admitted. "He's the one," said her brother. "Not unless I say so," Anna said. "We both have to agree, remember?" "I remember," Eric muttered, still watching the spunky little pony, which before today had never been touched by human hands. It was early on a July morning, and Eric and Anna were at the annual pony penning in Chinticanteague, an island off the west coast in Virginia. The tradition had started in 1925, but the horses themselves, a group of wild ponies that lived on the nearby island of Assateague, went back way further. Legend had it that they were descended from a group of Spanish ponies on their way to the mines in Peru. A storm blew and the ship into a reef, cracking open the hull. Despite the waves and wind, the ponies thrashed their way to the beaches of Assateague. The island was uninhabited, so the ponies learned to live in the wild. Some people thought that this was just a story and that the ponies had escaped from early colonists. But whatever their origin, the ponies had been running free for hundreds of years. When they were little, Eric and Anna loved to watch the horses being herded across the channel. Once ashore, the ponies snorted and shook the water from their bodies. Next came the parade, with scores of still wet ponies clomping down Main Street. But exciting as all that was, the twins had skipped it this year and were just here for the auction. The golden pony was led away, and several other horses had their turn in the arena. Eric didn't think of any of them compared to the golden one until he saw her, the filly that made Anna gasp. Her creamy coat was dappled with dark spots, and her mane and tail were the color of hot chocolate. As she pranced around the ring, Eric could almost feel her joyful spirit. "I want her," Anna said. "She's the one." Eric looked again at the filly, and it seemed that her black shining eyes were staring right into his. "You're right," he said. Immediately, Anna started bidding. At first, there were two other bidders, but one dropped out, and soon the other did too. After the auction ended, they met their mom, who had come with a horse trailer to get the filly home. "She looks feisty," Mom said. "Do you really think you can train her?" "Oh, I know we can," said Eric. "That's why we bought her," Anna added, "to train her and then sell her." "I know," Mom said, "and your father and I are just so grateful that you want to help." Just as they were leaving, Eric nudged Anna. "Look, those are the buybacks." Buybacks were the ponies that had been bought and returned to the wild to replenish the herd. Anna just shook her head. "What a waste," she said. "Besides, we need the money too badly to ever do that." Eric and Anna had horses in their blood. Their dad trained racehorses, and their mom ran a small riding academy. But several months ago, Dad had been thrown, and he was still in a rehab. The whole family was feeling the pinch. So Eric and Anna had decided to pool the money they'd earned from their after-school and summer job to buy one of the wild horses. They were confident they could train and resell it for a profit. Lots of people were eager to own one of the fabled ponies of Assateague. The next day, Eric and Anna rose early and got to work training the filly, whom they called Diamond for the shape of her marking on her forehead. At first, Diamond balked at the bridle, the bit, the saddle, and the stirrups, but they found that she loved carrots, apples, and most of all, the slightly stale peppermint balls left over from Christmas. Soon, Diamond was able to tolerate being tacked up. And then there was the memorable day that she let Anna ride her all the way around the ring at their mom's academy. Eric had groomed her, and her dappled coat was smooth and shiny. "Someone's going to snap her right up," Anna said as she dismounted. "We can sell her for $2,000 or maybe even more." Eric said nothing. His sister was right. Selling Diamond was the whole reason they had bought her. And yet, he thought of the buyback he'd seen after the auction, and for a second, he wished that Diamond could be among them. But that was ridiculous. The training continued well into the fall. Dad had come home but was still using a cane, so he couldn't work. Then Mom found a possible buyer for Diamond, Mrs. Wyckoff from the academy. On a gray November day, Mom invited her over to watch Diamond in the ring. Diamond went through her paces, walk, trot, canter, gallop. Mrs. Wyckoff was impressed. "You'd never know she'd been born wild," she said admiringly. Mom and Anna smiled, but Eric felt sick. Diamond had been born wild. That was part of her essence, and that had been taken away from her. Finally, Mrs. Wyckoff left, and Mom went inside. Anna was still talking about the price. Mom thought they could ask $2,000, but Anna thought they could just start at $2,200. "What do you think?" she asked Eric. "I think we should take her back to Assateague, where she belongs." "Seriously? How about a little humor from Thinking Grin?" "Jeffrey, knock, knock." "Joseph, who's there?" "Jeffrey, woo." "Joseph, woo-hoo." "Jeffrey, what are you cheering for? We didn't win a medal." That's from Jeffrey L. in Dayton, Ohio. Abaniah, what book doesn't have a cover? Gail, tell me, Abaniah. A Chromebook. That's from Abaniah A. in Montville, New Jersey. Nolan, what kind of test do zombies take? Bennett, I'm stumped. Nolan, no brainers. That's from Nolan R. in Minnetonka, Minnesota. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. You hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.